Hey, this is John Bollinger in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm with Michael League of Snarky Puppy. Michael, thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Man, love your work. Three-time Grammy winner.
Thank you.
That's a huge deal. If I had three Grammys, I would totally leave them on my amp just for all
the... I don't
think
it's big enough to...
Yeah. I would gloat. I would totally gloat. But I love your humble approach. That wouldn't have been mine, but... Let's start with this very sexy old P you're playing.
It's like it's a 59 P bass.
Wow, great.
That I found online, some kind of like a vintage dealer in Ohio, I think.
So you bought it without playing it, and it worked out.
Not generally the most intelligent.
I've rolled the dice like that. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously called the guy and said, if I don't like it, can I send it back within a day? And he said, sure. I mean, some people like buy a car and I bought this. I live in New York, I don't need a car.
Yeah, although it costs about the same.
I know cars that cost less.
Well, very cool, man. Now, have you always been a P guy or...
No, I was my first bass was actually a Warwick Corvette thumb fretless.
Wow, that I didn't expect that.
No, I know, it was weird. And then I had like
nothing wrong with that.
No.
It just didn't sound like Snarky Puppy.
Right.
To me.
Yeah. And then I got a 4-string Ken Smith, which I used for years.
Yeah, and those are great instrument.
Yeah, great. And we played a gig. Snarky Puppy played a gig many years ago with a band called Rudder and Tim LaFave, who's actually probably my favorite bass player in the world. You know, he was using this P bass with flats and like action that was like way off the thing. And my battery died or something right before the gig, and so I couldn't play the Ken Smith, so I had to use his bass. And I started playing, and I realized that, like, you know, because of the action, I could only play about 1/10 of the notes that I could on the Ken Smith.
Right.
And I noticed that when I did that, actually the whole band sounded better. So everyone was like, "Hey man, sounded really good tonight." I was like, "Oh, okay, maybe I should put some thought into this."
Right.
So then I went and kind of went on the hunt for P basses.
Yeah.
And we were playing a gig in Greenville, South Carolina, and we walked into a pawn shop, and there was a '76 Maple natural P bass in there for $600 or $700.
Wow.
It was beat up. I mean, it was beat up, but I bought it and spent a couple $100 fixing it up, and then I just kind of had like the P bass sickness, affliction.
Sure.
And then since then, that's like kind of my thing. I have other basses too, but I have like a 59, a 65, the 76, and I have a 52 actually.
Wow. Yeah. Does the 52 have the Tele headstock
on
it?
It does, yeah. It was called a Precision, but it has the Tele. Yeah. I mean, that was the second year of the electric bass. Yeah. And I bought it in Nashville.
Oh, really?
At the Guitar Center here in Nashville.
Sure.
It was like on the top shelf, but some person making interesting decisions with their life ripped out like the priceless 52 pickup and put in an 80s EMG.
Yeah.
So it devalued the price of the bass by like 80%.
Perfect. Which
so
is...
I made it affordable. Yeah, I mean, there's no way I would have bought it otherwise.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. Over the course of 60-some years... some shit's gonna happen. So, nonetheless, man, it's great that it happened because now you could afford it.
Thanks. Yeah.
Is great, man. And I love this is the original pickguard, right?
Everything's original, yeah.
Oh, just sounds
except
killer.
The strings.
Speaking of strings, what do you run?
I just recently switched to Jim Dunlop MXR flats.
Sure.
Which are really beautiful. And the people there are super flexible, so if you want to change the gauge by like a small amount, you can do it. And
right.
So I actually have kind of like a heavier D and G string than our standard.
Oh, cool. Do you ever change them, or once they're hunkered in, do you just leave
only
them?
When they break.
Yeah, that seems to be the way to go.
Yeah, the dead tone is
the dead tone, right. Dead tone. Yeah, which is perfect. So you've got a pretty modest setup, And as you told me, you've got a new signature bass amp that's coming out. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I've been with Mark Bass for, I think, 8 years. I mean, they were the only company that I've ever worked with with bass amps. It's kind of like an interesting scenario here because I have like a 410 on the bottom and a 4.8 on the top.
Yeah, so this is your, you're gonna continue with these cabs, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, and it's like, I don't even know that they make these anymore, the 4.8s. I think they're discontinued, but I love it because having the 410 on the bottom allows you to really get, like, if I'm using sub-octave stuff or playing Moog bass,
yeah,
this is just like where the beef
sure
is. And then this, if there's stuff that needs to sound more Motown-y or yeah, more kind of precise with the mids,
yeah,
the 4.8s rock it. And then for the head, right now it's a Little Mark Tube 800, but I, as you said, we just built a signature model together with Mark Bass called the Casa.
Huh.
It's not called like the Mike League signature, yeah, it's called the Casa. And it's kind of like a big old school, it's actually solid state, but it basically sounds like a Motown
yeah
record, you know. But and the flexibility and the equalization is unbelievable. Like if you just like look at one of the knobs, you know,
it goes where you want it.
But I use it straight up. I play it completely straight up. And
great,
it's
man.
Very well, light.
Congrats. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Casa. You're at home in the Casa.
That's right. Exactly.
Corny pun, nonetheless, for you polyglots out there.
Right. And the reason why I'm not using it, to be clear, is just because it just came out.
Sure.
So I still need to get mine.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
this is what I have from the last
batch. Well, great. Well, this rig sounds killer. And let's talk a little bit about your pedal board.
Sure.
Okay, now we're looking at your rather modest pedal board.
Yeah, normally I have more pedals, but this is like my my tour rig. It's actually really funny because I was using like just like a normal kind of pedal board and it was an extra bag, you know, to fly with on the plane.
Yeah.
So our sound engineer recommended taking a cutting board from like Target.
Right.
And outfitting it with Velcro. And that way I can put four pedals plus a power supply on the board and I can just tuck it right into the pocket on my bass case.
Yeah, lean and mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the way to go.
That's great.
So you're starting with a quarter inch from your bass into the Polytune.
That's right.
And then from there hitting the Boss Super Octave, right?
That's right, yeah. And I mean, my clean tone is...
Is this like stage volume? Are you... how hot do you guys run? Because there's so many people on stage.
Yeah, it's a loud band, but it's also a dynamic band. And so I try to err on the quiet side.
Sure.
In fact, there's some rooms where if we're playing like a concert hall, I'll actually duck the master almost completely.
Yeah.
So that the sound engineer has more control
sure
over the house. And most of the guys are getting the bass from their monitors.
Yeah.
And I can hear that. So I'm actually like a very, I would say comparatively, I'm a very quiet bass player. I don't think
conscientious.
I don't think any bass player is a quiet bass player, but I'm on the quieter end.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great. Okay.
So there's this.
That's your basic
tone. And then this, the OC3 is like it's like an electronic music kind of sub octave, like that you would hear in like EDM or something.
Yeah.
So it works well for, especially actually, I really only play it above the 12th fret normally.
Yeah.
So, like. Sounds good like that, but when you have it with like a drum set, percussion and like a synth, it's like it really takes you to that zone.
Well, and you're really using it right because so many bass players I think use it the wrong way in that they'll be hitting their lowest note possible with that octave below it and it's just a mud ball.
I mean once you start playing like below the D, I feel like this is about as low as you can go comfortably.
Yeah.
And then it
kind of buzzes
out. You just stop hearing the tone, you know, and the pitch.
Yeah, and it just sort of is a kind of walks over the frequencies of other things. Yeah, that's great, man.
And then, I mean, you know, the OC3, that thing obviously has this sub-octave thing, but the tone really is like a very, it's like the mids that are really bumping it through.
Yeah.
The MXR Bass Octave Deluxe is my default octave pedal. It's like the all-purpose, like It's like the Converse All-Star or P-Bass.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Of the Octavers, you know.
So and let's hear that in a sentence, how you'd use.
So that, I guess, would just be like if I want something kind of bitey.
Yeah.
Of like the top end of the octave yeah. sound and the bottom end.
Yeah.
It's kind of like more like that, whereas I think the OC3 is that with like this other thing underneath
yeah.
it.
That sounds killer, man.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
last but not least, the carbon copy.
Yeah,
I for just, some weirdness, I guess.
Yeah, I mean it can get really weird, but generally in this band I use it for like moments where if I'm playing some kind of lead thing, which doesn't happen often in Snarky Puppy, or if I'm just trying to kind of like build chord voicings.
Wow, yeah, that's great.
Or stuff with harmonics, it sounds really nice.
Yeah, it's almost like you hear the modulation more than the delay.
Yeah, well, it has an option, you know, the mod option.
Yeah.
If you take that off, then it becomes kind of like a little more standard.
Yeah.
So that becomes like a little, it's still like an analog delay, but it feels a little more normal. And
yeah,
then there's
great.
Also cool for like groove stuff. Actually, there's one tune that we do where like I use it as a slap.
Oh yeah, that's great. That totally sounds like a room slap.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a very versatile pedal. It's like these two, especially by MXR, are like pedals that you can use for anything that is delay or octave based. Like they're super versatile and they really kind of deliver it.
Yeah, that's killer. And the DC, MXR DC block is your juice.
Yeah, the DC brick is my like, it's just providing me with power. And they actually have a new one that's better, but it's a little larger. So for my cutting board,
yeah.
pedal board,
yeah.
this one makes the most sense.
Well, it's quiet and yeah, working, yeah. Great, man. Hey, sounds killer and pleasure to meet you.
Thank
Congratulations
you.
On all the success.
Thank you. Appreciate that very much.
Till next time. Backstage with Mark Lettieri of Snarky Puppy. Mark, thanks so much for joining
Good.
Us,
My
man.
My pleasure. Thanks, John.
Just got to say, love your playing, man.
Thanks, sir.
Love your playing.
Appreciate
and
it.
You and Michael together, I mean, that is just, I know there's a lot of people on stage,
right.
but just you two, man. It's just
know,
the,
man.
Got the funk.
Thanks. We're working on it.
Yeah, love it.
Cool.
Well, let's start talking about this this very cool Strat-y kind of thing. You
yeah,
got
it's
here.
A Strat-y kind of thing, but it's not a Strat. Well, it's not a Fender, I should say that.
Yeah.
It's a Don Grosch. I got this guitar 2013, maybe 2014, something like that. And I kind of like had it built sort of sight unseen. I had a really good friend of mine, fantastic guitar player, Eric Walls, gospel R&B genius. And he had one, and I played it very briefly, and I was like, that sounds incredible.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, it's a Grosch. I said, okay. Yeah. So I just called Don and I was like, hi, you don't know me, but I'd like to get one of your guitars, please. And
yeah.
so he put together this just freaking amazing machine.
Now, did you give him specifics, like Ash body?
Yeah,
it looks
I
like?
Did. This was the guitar that I've always wanted to have. Like, I've always had dreamed of certain Strats with different combinations, and finally
yeah.
I was like, wow, this guy makes incredible guitars. I'll have him make the one for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's I think it's a one-piece Swamp Ash. Maple neck, which is, I was playing Rosewoods up until I got this guy. And it's a little bit bigger than a normal C shape, which is cool. I've grown used to that. It has a little comfort cut. As you can see, the heel is a little bit smaller.
Ergonomic, nice.
Yeah, I think the frets are the regular medium jumbo locking tuners. These are Don's pickups. This is a 60s fat single coil, he calls them, and this is a small block 327 humbucker.
Huh.
So I've always loved humbuckers in the bridge of Strats. I don't know. For
sure.
some reason, like the
no,
single
it's,
thing.
No, it's a thing, yeah.
Yeah, so this guitar kind of does everything for me, and it has that, what I was using just a second ago, it has this great blend feature where if you take, like if you're in the neck position, it'll blend in the bridge so you can get that sort of, you know, sort of fake Telecaster.
Yeah, such a really great tone and impossible on most Strats.
Right, and so he does that really well. These pickups are incredible, man. It's like...
Huh. Now, on the single coils, are they true single coils? Because they seem very quiet. There's no, like, 60-cycle issues.
I mean, there's a tad, but, you know, it's there. But what I like about them is that... What I like about this guitar, I should say, is that, like, you get to play it. It doesn't tell you what you're going to sound like. You know what I mean? Like, you ever pick up those guitars and it's like, I'm this guitar. This is what you will do today. This is not that guitar.
Yeah.
This guitar is like, hey, man, whatever you want, we'll do it.
Mark, that's a good way of putting it.
Well, but you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you mean. There's some guitars that are very, they do that thing.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of make
this
your thing
work with
it. This is an
open canvas, so that's why I use it all the time.
Yeah. So, very cool.
Very happy with it. Yeah.
I like it. It's a Grosch, and you're using a Grosch.
A Grosch
with a Grosch strap button.
Yeah, right. I had it. Apparently, if you pronounce it wrong, it means like some sort of cuss word. I'm not
Well, then we will edit
that
out. Okay.
Yeah. And then my little Dunlop strap, which is nice and dirty because I've been wearing it forever.
Very cool. Yeah. You know, what strings are you running on this side?
These are Dunlop 9.5s.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's a 9.5 to a 44.
Okay.
And I really dig that sort of in-between thing. I've tried 10s, I've tried 9s, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I can't get hip to either one, so here we are.
That's why they make the 9.5.
There we go.
Yeah, there we go, okay. Yeah. Now, would you say that's your number one?
I think so, yes. In fact, most tours with Snarky or with my trio, or if it's an artist gig or something, I generally always have this guitar.
Yeah. But
there's another guitar.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Wow, this is light,
isn't it?
Man.
It's another Swamp Ash guy, and this is a Bill Nash.
Yeah.
TK-54.
Made right here in Music City, right?
I think they're in Washington. Actually, I have...
Okay,
Seattle?
maybe I was thrown off by the Nash, though.
His name is Bill Nash. Yeah, I think they're in the Pacific Northwest.
I'm often wrong.
That's okay.
Never in doubt. Okay.
Bill Nashville. Well, I'm sure it's
Bill Nashville,
before.
Yeah, okay.
This was one of those things that I walked into a guitar shop in New York one day and was not looking for a guitar, but left with a guitar.
Yeah, I get it, man.
And it's great, man. These are Lawler. This is a Lawler Lowwind Imperial, and this is whatever the Lawler Telecaster one is.
Yeah.
And this is a really nice guitar. It comes with like the pre-shaved neck or whatever, which is cool. And I use this. It's sort of, I hate to say, it's like a backup because I generally play the Grosch for most of the songs, but there's a tune we do sometimes that's in drop D, so I'll use this for that because this has a floating bridge and takes time.
Yeah.
And we don't, you know, in Snarky Puppy, like the tunes sometimes run into each other.
Sure.
So I don't even really have time to pick up another guitar. So.
Yeah. I like that. I like when the music never really stops.
Yeah. But it's there, so I'm glad it's here.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool. Two great guitars. Now let's talk about this amp.
Sure,
your
man.
Supro.
Shall I back this direction?
Yeah,
so you can
let's
see
give
it
a good,
bit.
Clear photo of this.
Yeah,
or
there it is.
Video of this thing.
So this is their Statesman head and 212 cabinet that they just put out, I think, not too long ago, maybe just in 2017. And I think it's one of the only head and cab things that they do. They usually do just combo amps, but.
Yeah.
The band Snarky's been using Supros for a while, and this is the first time we brought this one out on the road. This is the rig I use with my trio a lot, so I thought I would try to bring it into the Pups world, and it's working great, man. It's a two-channel amp. I'm going to totally screw up the specifics of this thing because I'm terrible at that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But there's the red light and the blue light.
Yeah.
I think it's like their Comet amp and maybe their Thunderbolt amp that are somehow blended together. So you can use each channel individually, or you can blend them. I like to blend them. It's just a little bit throatier. but still big and clean.
Yeah,
and that's kind of like the tone that all the guitar players in Snarky use. We go for like a big, huge, fat, clean tone,
yeah,
and then just kind of build the gain stuff with the pedals. So it's got an effects loop in the back, which is really great. I'm not using it.
Not uncommon.
I just go straight in, man. I mean, you know, and I don't switch between the two channels. I leave it either in the middle, or I'll just do channel one, kind of depending on the room.
Sure.
And then it's got some reverb, which is nice. So, yeah, man, this is really working.
Dial in one great tone, leave it, set and forget it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, our tunes don't really lend themselves well to like channel switching and amp switching and all that kind of stuff. It's like the guitar almost is like it's one of nine instruments that's on stage. So you almost don't really, you have a very specific lane that you need to stay in. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have time to like screw with stuff.
I bet. So, and I think in a band that big, like finding your sonic space, you kind of have to keep it. Otherwise it
well, you know, and we work, the music is constantly, we never play everything the same way twice, ever.
Yeah.
So if you're stuck trying to, you know, do whatever, switching this, that, and the other, you're going to miss the next key that somebody just brought into the song.
It's going to be fun, man, the whole kind of heads up
keeps
thing.
Keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
Well, you'll see, I wish you guys were hanging for the show, but you, next time, you can come see.
Yeah. Yeah,
yells and directs and does the whole thing.
Yeah, so. Perfect. Hey, well, let's talk about this pedal board.
Okay, sure.
Okay, now we're in pedal board land, so you are a cable guy, of course.
Yeah.
No wireless here.
Nope.
And just kind of give us the signal flow.
Sure. Do you want me to do each one or just tell you what they are?
Man, I want to hear this stuff. Yeah.
Well, it goes into this RAF Mirage compressor. And I don't use a compressor like for 90% of while I'm playing. However, there are certain things in the show where I need to play like a clean melody that needs to kind of stand out.
Sure.
And so I'll do that. And it's not even really set to that much compression, more just like. Whoops. So it's almost like set like a clean boost.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if I need to play like a. It sounds nice. It speaks really well.
Yeah, that's great.
And then that's it. So for most of my clean rhythm tone, I leave it off.
Yeah.
Then it goes into one of my new favorite pedals. This is the Monterey by Keeley, which is like a triple, quadruple thread of a pedal. It has a rotary sound, a univibe, an auto wah, and a fuzz.
Yeah, great.
All Keeley, in one
Robert Keeley is like a mad genius.
I just recently
he'll try anything.
Them. And they do.
Yeah.
I just recently hooked up with them and they sent this and I can't not use it. So I have it set for the cool like rotary. So it sounds awesome.
Yeah,
and then,
that's
great. The univibe is really cool. You just have to kind of sort of change a few things.
Yeah, that's great.
So it'll go, you know, and the auto wah is real cool too. Let's see. So there it is, you know.
Very cool.
Okay,
yeah, so what's this mystery button over on that side?
It's a fuzz. So it's the fuzz half of the Monterey. So you can, the cool thing about this is you can use the fuzz independently. So just have it be a fuzz.
Yeah.
Or you can combine it with whatever sound you have. So yeah, I guess it almost sounds like a chorus at that point. I just turn the rotary down. Which is nice because then you can, if you want to stack a fuzz with any of your other overdrives, you can do that.
Sure.
Too. So that's the Monterey. Yep.
That's very cool. And I think Keeley does a lot of things that are like kind of limited runs. So
you find
like a cool pedal like that and they.
Yeah, this was going to stick around for a while for me, I think.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, love that. Next in line.
Well, next, I'm really proud of this guy. It's the Melody Overdrive. with you see the M and the L for my name, fabulous, that I made with J Rocket Audio Designs, otherwise known as Rocket Pedals.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you, man. It's a real honor, man. I'm real pleased.
Well, in fact, you and Steve Stevens, Rock and Roll Great, has got a thing with them that's similar in that it's an EQ, right. Drive.
Yeah, so they've been doing these EQ pedals, which is kind of their new thing, and this one was it's a combination of a couple different pedals. I've always loved their Dude pedal and their Blue Note pedal, but then they also have this pedal called the Majestic, which kind of shares the DNA of those other two pedals, but sort of with a different platform.
Yeah,
and so they were like, "Well, we want to do the EQ thing with you, so we'll start with that Majestic platform because it." The circuitry sort of integrates better. I don't know how all the science works. But anyway, it feels kind of like the Dude, which was really important to me because that pedal is like has a nice sort of squish to it.
Yeah.
And the great thing is you can EQ it to whatever amp or whatever guitar you want. Yeah. And, you know, it's... really dynamic, you know, and it'll, you know. It'll crunch out if you really need it to. And so I called it the Melody because we wanted to figure out how to put my name in it somehow, but also because it's a good pedal for playing melodies, which I do a lot of in this band.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
Yeah,
love that.
You can get them. I'm going to just do the sales pitch because if I didn't, I'd get in a lot of trouble.
Sure.
So you can get them from jrocket.com or rocketpedals.com in a couple weeks.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
Well, congrats. It sounds killer. And I love that EQ. I actually use one of the compressors that has an EQ on it. And it's so great.
Yeah.
Because you know how when you're playing and you hear it's something might sound a little high-endy or you're not hearing your mids, you can on the fly... Boom.
Exactly.
Dial it in. So.
Yeah. So I've got the lows kind of down a little bit just because this amp already has a lot of bottom end.
Yeah.
But there, I think there's like 18 dB of EQ in each thing. So like you can do whatever. I mean, I think on the NAMM video, we were messing around with like the smiley face and getting the metal sound and all that. Or like you can do like the cocked wah pedal sound, which is.
Yeah.
You just kind of, I think this is how we did it. So yeah, lots of fun.
That's great.
I'll put it back to where we had it. And then the next one is another J Rocket, which is named after a really special Nashville guitar player, Guthrie Trapp.
Yeah, we actually did a rig rundown.
There you go.
Guthrie.
I hope he has one of these on his board.
Yeah, he did. He pimped it sufficiently.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Sufficient pimpage.
Yeah.
And so I used this one for kind of more of a higher gain sound because it has a little bit more of a compressed feel to it, even more than the Melody. So, it you know, it's like... Chunks really nice.
Yeah.
And so on this gig, I don't really chunk so much, but I do occasionally do nice, I hope they're nice, soaring leads and such. And so that'll work for that. And then if I really want to like just go. Put both of them on together.
Yeah, unleash and, hell.
Yeah,
that's great.
So that'll happen. There's some of that. So that pedal's been around for a while on my board. Really like it. And then the MXR Phase 90, which... I don't really play anything like Eddie Van Halen, but he's still one of my favorite guitar players of all time.
Duh.
So you know. So I use it for the funk thing that I was doing earlier. And
right.
So
do you have it on the script setting or the
script setting? I just love that vintage.
Oh, it's great.
Phase 90 sound. You can't
but
beat it.
The other setting on it is. Really cool too.
Yeah,
almost like
I actually haven't even really like
I like found it by accident.
It's a little chunkier.
Yeah,
maybe I'll use that tonight.
Yeah.
All right, thanks,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, it really was. It really was one of those things. Like I was playing and I thought, God, this sounds so different. And it's because I didn't even know it was engaged on the non-script.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a desert island pedal. I have a smaller board that I use for fly dates, and I have like the Phase 95. That's like the little guy.
Tiny one?
I love phasers.
Great.
They're great.
Yeah. What's not to love?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where are we at? Volume pedal.
There, okay, volume pedal.
There it is. It's just a standard Ernie Ball volume pedal.
And you're running that, interestingly enough, after your
I do it
dirt.
After the overdrives. Yeah. Just because in Snarky, we do the ambient swell thing.
Sure.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
So I need to have everything be there.
Yeah.
Even if it's not there.
Yeah, that sounds killer.
So that'll work. And then, somebody's opened the door. Where are we at? So that's the volume pedal. Yep, and the string hasn't broken. Thank goodness.
Yeah, so far, so good.
Then we go to the M5, the Line 6, which is a really cool kind of do everything.
Oh, yeah.
If you need it to do it. And I have a couple, I think I have it set for an eighth note. Eighth note delay, but then I also use the octave feature on it a lot, which is essentially this. And then it has this wacky sound, which I've used to death, so I kind of don't really use it anymore, but it's like
wow. Like so, Stranger Things.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like we have actual keyboard players in our band that are like really good at that, so I just usually let them do that. And it's been modded, as you can see, by Jack Vaughn, JHV3,
and
he put this cool like instant preset switch, which makes a big difference.
That makes sense, because I would
you used to have to step on both knobs, which just was not, that didn't make sense to me. So he put this little guy in here, which really helps.
And you wonder if Line 6, if you're watching this, you might think about that for the next, some of the gang in R&D might take that into consideration.
And it's got a tuner, which I'm currently using right now, which is why you don't see a tuner on here.
Wow, so you use that tuner. That makes sense.
Yep. Yeah. So, this has been around for a while on my board, and so has this pedal, the Empress Tremolo.
Ooh, let's hear that.
Which is just, a nice.
Right.
Nice, calm, soothing tremolo.
Yeah.
And it'll do like a different sort of choppy syncopations and things, but again, I haven't really delved into that. I like basic stuff. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, once you find that great, lush sound.
Yeah. It's got tap, which is important, too.
Sure.
And then my TC zone here, the Nova delay, which I've had forever.
That's great.
And then again, it's got presets, but I don't use them. I leave it just like that for just delay.
Yeah.
And then
so you just find the one you like.
Yeah.
And that's your one.
That's it. And it's a quarter note delay.
Yeah.
So, and here's the Hall of Fame 2 reverb, which is really neat too. And I actually will show you some of the crazy stuff that this does.
Oh, good.
They put this this mash button, which is like a pressure sensitive foot switch, which sounds like it could be used for a landmine, which is sort of scary.
Yeah.
But anyway, what it does is it'll take the reverb. And if you step on it, it'll sort of sustain whatever is happening. So you can do stuff. You can kind of build these soundscapes if you throw the delay on, maybe. So
that's killer.
That's now, that guy.
Do you get much of an opportunity to use this ambient crazy stuff in Snarky, or is that more of your trio thing?
It depends. We'll do it in the trio on occasion. And then with the pups, sometimes. There's a few sections in the songs where that's the thing. The other two fellows in the band, Bob Lanzetti and Chris McQueen, are like masters of that.
Yeah.
So I try not to like pretend I can do that really well.
Well, you know, it convinced me.
It's all the pedal. So anyway, sometimes. That's the thing about the band, man, is we never play the same thing twice. So it's like there might be a section when it's like we're tripping out.
Right,
and that's my trip out pedal.
That's cool.
So, but it's also just a great reverb. So
now what are you, now this pedal board you're saying earlier you built yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, and what are you using for power?
It's a PT, the Voodoo Labs PP2.
Yeah.
Pedal Power 2. There's no T in it. <there's>, I don't know why I put that in there.
And there's and one of them runs off a wall wart.
So the Line 6 is off of this wall wart, which it might actually be underpowered. I don't know. Yeah, and you know the cabling is just stuff that I've picked up along the way. There's some duct tape here, I think,
perfect,
for some reason. So it's definitely something that you can do at home.
Yeah,
as I did.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
So and then it goes into the amp with a blue cable that I think is also a Supro cable.
Yeah, perfect. That's, well, man, great meeting you.
Dude, yeah,
sounds
my pleasure.
Killer.
Thanks,
yeah.
John. Cool, man.
Till next time.
All right. Cheers, guys.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.